When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Interesting.
Okay.
Oh, and the sex can't be like that good. Like it has to be like sex, but it can't be like crazy mind-blowing sex, because like then again, like you'll catch feels.
Mm. All right. I'm going to rebuttal that last point, actually.
Please.
If you're my friends with benefits, the point is the sex is good. Because if I don't have feelings for you, that's what's making me want to hang out with you.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, when sex that's isn't fair. That great, I gotta like you a bit. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes,
for me.
I hear you. But I think if you had a friend with benefits and the sex was insane, then there's no question that you're catching feels. Like, what's stopping mm-hmm. you from that at that point, you know? As opposed to sex, you probably heard the line, like, sex is like pizza. Like, even when it's bad, it's still, like, good, you know?
Yeah.
As long as like the sex is like making you orgasm, like that's all you need, you know? Like you don't need this like crazy thing. And if you do have that crazy thing, you should date them.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Shooters Gotta Shoot. I am your co-host, Erica Spera.
And I'm Molly DeMillier.
And we have an awesome episode for you this week. We just got done recording. I'm super pumped. It's really, really fun.
Yeah, I had a great time.
We get into some dating rules pitched to us from another podcaster. We really aren't going to waste no time.
No, we just got to get to it.
It's really great.
So good.
Yeah, so just if you haven't left us a review yet, please do that. That mm-hmm. really helps the podcast out. And as always, join our Patreon, which is patreon.com/shootersgottashoot. We are almost at an extra episode every week.
Yeah, we're really close to that goal. So sign up and we'll just be giving you more content every week.
Yeah. And if you want the juicy stuff, the Patreon's where it's at. So
things are not slowing down over here.
No, it's been a hell of a couple weeks. I just did Lev's podcast today and we were kind of catching up after. And he was like, man, the last 6 weeks with you, Erica. He goes, I don't know how you're like alive right now and just doing okay.
Are we though? Are we okay?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a debate. So if you want to hear some struggles, join that Patreon gang. Anyway, let's get to it.
Let's do it.
I am very, very excited. We got this girl on the podcast.
Oh my God, so pumped.
So pumped. People have sent her podcast to me before to listen mm-hmm. to. She gets great guests all the time. So you might have heard her podcast. She's from We Met at Acme.
It's Lindsay Metzeler. Woo-hoo!
Welcome to the pod.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Yeah.
Thanks to Brian for introducing us.
Yes, yeah. For sure. Thank you for coming on. I've listened to your pod before. It's great. It's got a lot of different relationship advice stuff. So if anyone that likes ours, you'll probably definitely like mm-hmm. Lindsay's. And we're going to flip this to you. I noticed this is something you do on your pod. What is your current relationship status?
I love it. I am currently in a relationship and we live together and he's just a few feet away from me right now, because that's what happens when you live together during COVID.
Great. Awesome. Ooh,
how long have you been together?
We've been together for, I guess it'll be a year next month, which is really crazy because most of it has been in COVID.
Yeah. Wow. So God, so you were like, what, 4 months into your relationship when the world just like shut down? Right.
Pretty much. Yeah. Like 3 months, 4 months. And we actually weren't like official when COVID hit. So we were like, do we quarantine together? We were kind of forced to take that next step like immediately, which I feel like a lot of people who like just met before COVID definitely had to deal with as well.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about this a lot of, especially like in preparing for this second lockdown that we're probably going to have, like everyone's kind of like, oh, cuffing season is a lot more intense this year. Like, did you feel like a lot of extra pressure, or was it a little bit more seamless?
It wasn't so much pressure. I was just like, I felt lucky that I was like, okay, now I have this guy who I actually like. And so hopefully we'll do this like quarantine thing together. It's kind of in a weird way, other than COVID being a horrible, horrible thing that like is, you know, like terrible. It's kind of like this weird like fantasy of like, oh my God, the world's ending. And like, hold on to me. Like now we have to like be more serious kind of vibes. You know what I mean? It's like, it's like almost something that like, obviously you don't wish for a pandemic, but it's like, you do, like you see these movies like Day After Tomorrow and you're like, oh my God, I just like want to like cling to like this like survival buddy. And like, that's so like chic and like romantic, you know?
Yeah.
Do you have any little fears though of like, when the world is back to normal, how your relationship is right now, things are going to change? Because I have a friend right now that just started seeing someone, it's getting serious fast. And he's partly like, you know, my life as it is right now is not what it's like, because for work, he travels a lot. So he's a little bit like, they might get used to me being around all the time and then not like that I'm someone that's gone half the week. So do you have any kind of hesitation?
It's a legitimate question and legitimate fear that so many people do go through. And I've actually had people reach out to me and be like, I'm so nervous, like things are going well, but you know, when the pandemic ends, for me, I actually think it's a good thing. When the pandemic ends, like, or, you know, pre-pandemic, I like, in a lot of ways, I am that guy. Like I travel a lot and I am more independent. And so I feel like, you know, there's nothing like missing each other. And, you know, you become like more codependent than you actually are in reality, because you can't do anything. I mean, are you guys in relationships?
I am. And it just started, I think we're like 3 months in now. So it's actually like really similar to how you and your boyfriend started, of like, you know, everything was pretty open over the summer. But now that it's getting colder and we're getting locked down, we're moving like pretty quickly. Like we talked on our Patreon this week, like I got a toothbrush at the apartment, you know, because I'm spending so much time there. And it does feel like it's getting more serious faster.
Right. Do you like feel good about it though? Or are you like, in a normal world, I wouldn't be where I am with him or her?
I think I feel good about it in that way, because I think in a normal world, we wouldn't be here. And I, like, I'm so happy with him. He's the kindest, like most genuine person that I think I've probably ever met. So like, similar to you, it's kind of this like really like bizarre blessing that I've had.
Right.
But yeah, like I think there are some fears of like what happens when the world does turn back on. You know, he is someone who has to travel a lot for work typically. So
like, not even traveling, but also like going out at night. Like,
yeah.
These relationships have not experienced like what it's like to have like your boyfriend have a boys' night, or like you have a girls' night, or like, you know what I mean? Just like that reality of life and like people like running into your ex, like that doesn't happen now. Like nobody runs into their ex now.
Right. Or even like a real date. Like we did a few like really nice outdoor dinner dates when it first started, but now like we're spending a lot of time in. So then it gets really hard of like, okay, we're always just like hanging out in sweatpants and like getting takeout, which like that's fun and it's cute and that's like what we can do now to spend time together. But it's like, oh, is this always going to be our relationship? Or like, I don't know, like can you just start that up in like 6 months when we can finally go outside again to like, you know, do like real dates? I don't know.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. It's weird.
It's just a weird year all around.
So on our podcast, it's called Shooters Gotta Shoot, partly because we're women that tend to initiate. So how did you and your boyfriend meet, and who initiated the relationship, would you say?
So we actually like peripherally knew each other. He went to high school with one of my best friends from college. And so I kind of like always knew his name. We had run into each other at parties in the past, but we never like had more than like a formalities conversation. Mm-hmm. And then on New Year's of last year, I ran into him. I was actually dating somebody else at the time. And I ran into him and just like, he like kind of remembered that he existed and was curious. And like my relationship I was in was not in a great place and like kind of dwindling down to the point where like we were breaking up. And so I like registered him in my head. And then when we did eventually break up, I was the one, I was the shooter shooting, and I texted him. But I also like, I justified it because not that it has to be justified, but he didn't know that I was single, because when we ran into each other, I was with my then boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And so I texted him and I was like, I had invited him to like singles events, because I used to throw these events pre-COVID where like I would try to be a matchmaker and like mix people. And so I invited him to one of those events, and then I was like, and he couldn't go, and he was like, but would love to go to future events. And I go, speaking of future events, I'm newly single. Do you want to like go out sometime?
Oh, okay.
Wow.
So really, you did shoot a shot. It was pretty direct.
I shot my shot.
Hell yeah. Okay. I don't think it has to be justified, but I understand.
No, I know. And it's so funny because if you listen to my podcast and like you like follow me on Instagram, like you probably think that I'm like, no girl can ever initiate blah, blah, blah. But I actually think, and you can hold me to this, like I think a girl can initiate the first, but then has to step back. I think like showing interest at first is totally fine, but then you have to let them pursue you, is what I think.
I mean, you nailed why we had you on the pod. I've had friends being like, this girl's got a completely opposite philosophy of the two of you. So we were like,
do you really think that you can initiate and then keep initiating and then like fully pursue somebody?
I think what the challenge with that is that a lot of guys are not direct in your answer, even if you're direct in the question. So like in our experience, we have a lot of situations in the past where it'd be like, you know, do you want to like get a drink sometime, or do you want to like get a drink on this day? And they'd be like, oh, like I'm busy, but like would be fun to like hang out. But what they really mean is no. And that has been our issue of like, okay, well, I mean, they were busy on Thursday, so like I'm gonna ask and see if they want to do it like next Friday. And then it's just kind of this vicious cycle. So it's kind of our thing is trying to figure out when to stop shooting your shot, I guess. Move on to the next game.
Or sometimes we're like, no, we need a hard no. We'll ask again, even being like, I feel like this is going to be a no, but almost being like, no, I want you to say no.
Yeah.
Give me a hard no that I'm so embarrassed I'm never going to try again.
Yeah.
That's really funny because I feel like guys, that's like a very guy mentality. I think like I once heard you like try three times, and if like the third time is still a no, then like you move on. Mm. But I feel like with women trying like with guys, it's like a one and done. Like if they, even if they don't say straight up no on the first time, but like if they do one of those, like work is so busy this week, like it's really like their way of saying, or I've had girlfriends who will hear from a guy straight up, like I'm not looking for a relationship right now.
Right. Yeah, that's the ultimate lie. Yeah.
That as a challenge. And it's like, no. Mm-mm. He's not looking for a relationship with you. Like, that's it.
He'll sleep with you, probably.
Yeah.
Give him the chance. He's gonna keep fucking you, of course. It's so easy.
Yeah.
Like, you're making it easy, but like, he's gonna do that while he's looking for an actual relationship.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But that's the same with the vague answer. When you first ask and you get a vague answer, it's kind of like they don't want to fully shut the door because, hey, if we're at the same party, seems like this girl might hook up with me.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's kind of why we're a fan of like, nah, shut the door, like fully get it shut. Almost like make it clear, like, no, I don't want to just hook up with you. I'm into you and you're not into me. That's cool. But like, that's it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, that's fair. It's like, I remember when I was single, it was so hard for me to shut the door, even if I didn't like them at all, just because like, I don't know, you like people liking you. You know?
Yeah. It feels good to get that attention. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And we're a fan of, if you're just trying to hook up, there's no rules. There's no rules on initiating. Who cares? Like if you got a goal.
I mean, if you have a friend, like when I had a friends with benefits, like I would literally like triple text him. Like it doesn't matter, you know?
Yeah.
But it's more like when you want something serious. It's not like you have to play a game, but like, you know, you don't want to seem desperate.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think you also really need to make sure that the lines don't get blurred. Because if you do it too many times with a friends with benefits, it's too easy. And then all of a sudden you start to catch feelings. And then you start to like get kind of led on a little bit. It feels terrible.
Yeah, that's true. Well, that's, so going back to rules, I have rules about friends with benefits.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I mean, that's, anyone listening, we're going to get into Lindsay's rules. We're basically going to have her pitch us some of her rules. So I'm like, we have more questions that we want to do that. I'm like, do we want to get to the rules first?
I'm so interested in the rules. Yeah, let's do it.
I would love to hear this because every episode we try to research something.
Friends with benefits. And this is for like cis hetero women who have a male like friend with benefits.
Okay.
The first rule is that they have to be younger than you. This is because, at least for me, and by the way, these rules are only what my rules were and what worked for me. Okay. Because if they're younger than you, you don't take them seriously, like as a relationship most of the time. Unless they're like previously mature, which is never the case with a guy, like ever. They have to be younger than you, like to the point where you're like, I can't date you. You're like my little brother. Like, have to be younger. They have to be more into it than you are, because if you're the one, or even if you're on the same level of into it, it's dangerous. Like, you basically have to like reject someone and make them your friend with benefits, if that makes any sense. And like, know that you're never gonna do it again. And then what's my other rule? I mean, just like no dates, but like be respectful of one another. Like if one of you starts seriously dating someone, like be upfront about it. Don't like ghost your friend with benefits, like things like that. But I think the bottom line is that this is not somebody that you would ever date, no matter how many feels you catch. And then like you come out on top.
Interesting.
Okay.
Oh, and the sex can't be like that good. Like it has to be like sex, but it can't be like crazy mind-blowing sex, because like then again, like you'll catch feels.
All right, I'm gonna rebuttal that last point actually.
Please.
If you're my friends with benefits, the point is the sex is good. Because if I don't have feelings for you, that's what's making me want to hang out with you.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like when sex that great, I gotta like you a bit. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yes. I hear you. But I think if you had a friend with benefits and the sex was insane, then there's no question that you're catching feels. Like, what's stopping you from that at that point, you know? As opposed to sex, it's like you probably heard the line, like, sex is like pizza. Like, even when it's bad, it's still, like, good, you know?
Yeah.
As long as like the sex is like making you orgasm, like that's all you need, you know? Like you don't need this like crazy thing. And if you do have that crazy thing, you should date them.
I don't know. I had a friends with benefits for a while that like the sex was just like insane, but he was definitely someone that was like, this is just never ever gonna be a relationship. I don't know. So like, but I don't catch feelings from sex. Like I can like bucket the physical and then the actual like conversation with someone. Like that's where I really get feelings for someone. And this person and I just never talked other than when we were going to hook up or when we were getting drunk together before we hooked up.
I mean, if you can do that, like if you can compartmentalize, then like, totally do it. Like then you should have mind-blowing sex with a friends with benefits. Yeah, like I don't know, I just don't think that the friends with benefits is like the mind-blowing sex should be your partner in an ideal situation.
I would say you do have a bit of a point for most people though, because biologically speaking, like if you're orgasming as the woman, there are a lot of studies that it does trigger more in your brain, or like it should. And we always say that, like, you know, we're just, you know, kind of the odd ones that isn't really always how it happens for us. So I think most women listening would probably want to like have caution around a situation like this, because sometimes it's out of your control where you're like, I know I shouldn't like this person, but I'm really starting to like this person.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I might be like you guys, because I've never like had sex with someone and then started to like them.
Right. Yeah.
Like it was only either like before, but never like, it's like after didn't change that for me really.
Right. And I would say the more that like I talk with someone and I get to know them on an intimate level, sometimes that'll make the sex a lot better for me.
Yeah, that I'll agree with for sure.
Can I throw this question out to the table? Yeah. I think a lot of things women get annoyed with friends with benefits, myself included, is a lot of times you just want to know when you're going to see them.
Yeah.
But the point of friends with benefits is there isn't this like need to plan, right? Mm-hmm. So a lot of girls will get annoyed of like, I'm getting hit up while I'm out that night to hook up with this person and almost feel like it's wrong. So I'd almost be like, do you feel like there's any rule you would say about when you should hit up a friends with benefits? Should it only be day before? Like, are there any rules regarding planning?
No. I mean, if you have a good, loyal friend with benefits, like, you can hit them up at any time and they can hit you up at any time. And unless you're previously engaged or like with another person, like, you're going to let them come over or you're going to go over there. Mm-hmm. That was another rule. Like, I never went over to a friend with benefits.
Interesting.
Okay.
Like, if I'm giving you sex, like, you can come to me, you know? And then like, right. I can.
I would say, do you let them sleep over?
Oh.
No, that's another rule.
Thanks. I like that rule.
No sleepovers.
Yeah.
See, we would often go to their place because then we could leave.
That is also smart, but I have no problem being like, okay, it's time for you to go. Like, I made it very clear that like there's no, like, that he was never sleeping over.
Have you ever bought someone an Uber home just to get them out of your place?
Good question.
Or offered?
No, but
I've used that as a move.
So that's a good move. And also everyone has done like the fake leaving.
Wait, what?
When you pretend that you're leaving your own apartment so that they leave. You
go, yeah.
Yeah. And then you like walk around the block and then go back.
Oh, okay. I've done that. I have done that. Yeah. But I was imagining that night you're like, all right, well, I have to go get groceries.
No.
So
there's no lines at midnight.
If they don't leave when you're like, okay, you have to leave, like, that's psycho.
Yeah.
You know?
True. But I think that's something a lot of women would feel like they weren't, I don't know, like being a good host, or like they weren't being nice to like kick someone out after they were there.
Bad. Also, your friends with benefits, another rule, should be close by. So like, you don't feel bad if you're kicking them out. Like, you shouldn't have a friends with benefits in like Bushwick if you live like on the Upper East Side. Like, that's like, then you're going to feel bad, you know? Like, they should be near.
Well, sometimes Bushwick has good dick, okay? Is no one going to say that?
Is 100%. That... But then you should also be in Bushwick, you know?
I will not. But you know what? I will buy you Bushwick. An Uber home if it's good. Okay, what's some other set of rules that you wanted to, I guess, talk about on the pod to pitch to listeners?
Other rules are just like around dates and first, second, third dates.
Okay.
Think that you shouldn't have more than two drinks on a first, second, or third date. Maybe we'll just talk first dates. No more than two drinks.
That's a millionaire matchmaker rule, by the way. I don't know if you're a fan of Patty.
Oh, that's a millionaire matchmaker rule?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Patty, and that's one of her rules. Two drink maximum.
I love Patty. No, she says no sex until monogamy.
Yeah, that one I don't agree with, but yeah.
I agree. I also don't agree with that, but... no more than two drinks on a first date, not because of anything other than that, like, it clouds your judgment and like, you know, maybe you'll be sloppy and like, no one likes that. No sex on a first date unless you don't care where it goes.
Mm-hmm.
If you do, then just don't have sex, because honestly, like, no slut shaming. It's just not as fun. It's not as exciting. There's no buildup, especially if you're meeting on a dating app, which most people are these days. Like, this is an absolute stranger. Like, that's kind of scary. Just like, give it another date or two to get to know them. Unless you have like a mutual friend and they can vouch. Don't send a thank you text after the date. If you are a woman who just went out with a man, you hopefully already said thank you on the date, and it's just like overkill. It's like trying to get a text from them. Like, let them decide on their own accord that like they had a good time and that they want to hit you up. It also, like, going back to like guys not really saying how they feel, like, you will get confused and in a gray area. If you're like, oh my God, thank you so much again for like a $20 drink. And they're like, no problem. Had a great time. Would love to see you soon. Because that's what you say. Cause it's nice. Mm-hmm. And then you're gonna be like, oh my God, they like me so much. They want to see me soon. It's like, no, they just like, it's a formality because you sent a formality, like, mm-hmm. as opposed to you not sending that text and then being like, hey, I had a really good time. Like, what are you doing Thursday? Because then you know for a fact that they're into you. And honestly, that's like pretty much it. I think, again, like you could initiate the first date, but then like chill and like wait and make sure that they are interested.
Question. What's the rule on you leave a date and a guy says, let me know when you get home?
I was just thinking that.
Such a great question that comes up all the time. Mm-hmm. You do let them know that okay. you got home. Because that would be really crazy if you did.
You're like, no,
then
I will
like
not.
Playing a really yeah. scary game. And then
weird
you'd be
game.
Like,
of like, did he yeah. really mean he wanted to right. know? Am I going to hear from him? Like, it's been an hour. Did you get home?
Yeah. Like, send the text when you got home and just be like, got home, like, had so much fun.
Mm-hmm. I've, yeah. I guess, been single for basically a year. And I've gone on a handful of dates and I've noticed men that will say, let me know when you get home, okay? And men that will not say anything.
Oh, that's interesting.
And I have forgotten, just generally forgotten, to let someone know. And I'll get a text from that's kind of like, hey, you made it home, right? And I'm like, oh, yes, I'm so sorry. Like, yeah, I'm home, kind of thing.
And then what happened?
No, I mean, yeah, but it's, I found more of a difference. The men that usually say, let me know when you get home, okay? Want a second date. Mm-hmm. And the ones that don't say that, I think kind of are like, they just don't care if they hear from you again.
Yeah. Well, I literally talk about like these subjects all the time. And a woman just DM'd me today. And she was like, it's actually a deal breaker for me as a woman. If they don't say, let me know that you got home. Okay.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. You know, what's really interesting for me. One date I had recently was a place in my neighborhood and we both walked there. So I walked home by myself and that dude did not say, let me know when you get home. Okay. Which I thought was weirder and worse than the times that I'm say in Manhattan. Cause we live in Astoria and I take an Uber. Cause it's like, well, an Uber yeah. brings me to my door. Yeah. But it was interesting that the guys getting me in an Uber were like, oh, you know, let me know you get home. Okay. But the dude that I was like, I walked home in the dark, like, and stuff is shutting down early. So yeah. like no one was around. Like I was like, not that I was scared, like the neighborhood's nice, but I was like, wow, of all guys, for that guy not yeah, to be not like, hey, you made it home, right?
Yeah. I do agree with you, though, that the guys who don't say it probably don't want a second date because I've always thought that it was just an invitation to text them so that you wouldn't True. Feel kind of crazy.
I agree. In fact, I feel like I need to ask a poll question about this mm-hmm. after we record, but no, I've been the one to say to a guy, let me know when you got home.
Yeah, I've said that too. It's just kind of nice.
Like, yeah. yeah. Like if they're leaving my place, you
yeah.
know.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I think even more so if you walk, just because it's like, yeah. it's New yeah. York, a lot of us walk, and if it's dark,
yeah,
out,
you never
like,
know.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I wanted to ask another question about first date rules. So I've been implemented a new rule kind of for myself of a lot of times, especially through apps, you move off the app, you get the cell phone number, whatever. But basically you make a vague plan of like, when are you free this week? And you're like, okay, I'm free Thursday. They're like, me too. And say it's Sunday that you're talking. So they're like, all right, like, let's figure out details later. I won't initiate the details and the planning of it, but I made a rule that if I don't hear from them till like that day of the date, like midday, I don't go on the date.
Good.
Like, that's I'll just be like, look, I assumed we weren't going to meet. I haven't heard from you.
You won't yeah. send a follow-up?
No, I won't send a follow-up. That's my new rules. I don't.
Interesting.
Because yeah, I'm kind of like, we both know it was supposed to be Thursday. Mm-hmm. And clearly you're not that excited to meet me if yep. there's no remembrance in your brain of like following
I fully
up.
Support that rule. And it's so funny because I have a friend who's single and dating and she was in that same situation. And she was like, is the date on? Like he hasn't texted me, but it wasn't a vague plan. They had like, let's meet at this place at 6.
See, that's different. Yeah. Yeah.
Different, but still like you still text to be like, just making sure or like, see you later or whatever.
Yeah.
No text, but the guy showed up at the place.
Yeah. But that's-
yeah. They had a plan.
And he was like, where are you? And she was like, I mean, you never confirmed. And I'm on her side. Like it doesn't matter if you have a time and place. You, if it's Sunday and the date's on Tuesday, you still need to confirm on Tuesday.
But I have a question. If your friend invites you time and place for somewhere to go and they don't confirm, are you going to not go, or are you going to hesitate to just check in of like, hey, this time's still good for you?
When I have that situation with a friend, always check in. And yeah. If they don't, I assume we're off.
Okay.
So, because we're in an age where like we all have our phones on us 24/7. Like it to do just a quick check in, like you never know, you know, you don't want to show up to a place. It's so easy.
Yeah, I think it's easy. I am agreeing with you in that. And like, if I'm unsure, I always send a message. Like actually with my boyfriend, now we met through an app, and I think it was the plan was made like 3 days or so before that, you know, we might like get together on like the Saturday night or whatever. And
for first date you're talking
for about? For first date, yeah. Okay. And then Saturday morning came and I didn't have like a hard plan. So I just sent him a message and was like, oh, are we like still on for tonight? And he was like, yeah, of course. Like, why wouldn't we be? And then he like sent me the menu of the place that he was looking at and everything. So like, I don't think it's bad to confirm, because he's also a person who he doesn't really like use social media or anything like that, I came to find out. And so he was like, yeah, like we made a plan. Why wouldn't we just go with it?
Right. I would say like, it sounds like you have a good guy, but oftentimes like, when a girl says like, hey, are we still on for tonight? I would argue that it sounds insecure as opposed, like if you're gonna do a check-in, I would just be like, see you in an hour, ? Or something, you know, like see you later. But I would advise against it like completely, because like they're the ones making the plan. Like they better follow through with the fact that the plan is happening. But I will say, and I know this is one of your questions, so I might be jumping ahead,
I did
break that rule with my boyfriend because we made a plan on a Tuesday night, like talked about making the plan for a Saturday day date. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we made this plan like 3 p.m. Saturday, didn't hear from him this is for our first date. And then I didn't hear from him from between Tuesday and Saturday.
Okay.
And I still had plans that day, like before our date, like a girlfriend's birthday brunch. And so I'm like at the brunch and I'm just like, or maybe it was like right before I left for the brunch, he texted me and he was like, oh my God, like, don't know why, like, I'm just seeing this. Yes, like still definitely like on for three, right? Or something, like almost as if he for some reason thought that like I would still hold this plan for him, like even if he didn't message me. And like it pissed me off so much because I was like, wow, I literally have not, he's like laughing, like I have not been in your thoughts once, not once, like right now until like 3 hours before the date, like what the fuck. And so I sent a GIF of, have you seen Billy Madison?
Yeah.
You know when Steve Buscemi's character like crosses Billy's name off of his hit list?
That's a great GIF.
I sent that GIF and like I wasn't fucking kidding. And Ben, he was like obsessed with the fact that I sent that GIF. And then I was like, you know what, fine. I actually texted our friend who he went to high school with and I was like, this fucking asshole, should I still go on this date?
Wow.
He just texted me now and she was like, go on the date, but like that's not okay. And I was like, I know.
So you broke the rule of you didn't hear from him in a certain amount of time, but you still continued the plans.
Yes. And I wouldn't, by the way, if it was a night plan.
Yeah, well, because night feels like hookup time, so when you kind of get that behavior, like anyone that I didn't follow up with, it'd be one thing if like your friend, the guy showed up or suddenly even just texted an hour before, like, I'm just getting done with work, you know, you want to meet in 2 hours at this place, like, but the thing is I've just heard nothing. Or even like the next day they're not like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, I forgot we were supposed to meet yesterday, like, so I'm kind of like, I was going with my gut on it. I was like, yeah, I didn't think this I would hear from this dude unless I was the one like pursuing, and I was kind of like, eh, especially with online, you know,
teaching them a lesson, like, if you do end up dating this person, it's like, I didn't hear from you, so I made other plans. And it's like, okay, so next time if we have a plan, like you better say something, otherwise the same thing will happen. And like, it I feel like it's important to like teach them lessons up front.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
The thing that I feel like we're kind of getting to the like crux of though is like to put yourself first and give yourself an opportunity to make other plans. Like, I don't know that it necessarily matters how you go about it, but like when I was younger, I would wait around. I would like do my makeup, get ready, and then just sit and have like kind of wait around for the guy to come around. And like, I wasn't allowing myself to go out with other people and like really like hang out with my friends and stuff, because I was always putting the guys first instead of what I wanted to do first. So like by having a cutoff date, you can be like, all right, fine. If he doesn't message me at this point, like I'm going out with Erica. I'm going to do that, you know, do other things. And I think that's what's so important, because I think it makes you more confident in whatever you're going to do.
I agree. Everyone should have a cutoff time.
Mm-hmm. So I do actually have some thoughts on like having more than two drinks, and especially in a city like New York that is such a big drinking city. And we always say that if you have a drink or two at a place and then move to another location and have another couple of drinks, like that's a really good sign. So what are your thoughts on that? And like, how do you balance that?
I think that it's less about it being a good sign to me and more about like having a cutoff time from the date. Like oftentimes, and I don't know if there's actual statistics about it, but the dates that go longer end up less likely to get a second date.
Interesting. Like,
so many people will reach out and they'll be like, I don't understand. We were at the bar for 6 hours and then like I never heard from him. And it's like, well, like girl, like why were you there for 6 hours? Like, don't you have a life? Because obviously he didn't think so, because you literally never left, you know? And it's like, you have to have some mystery about it. Like, yes, it's much harder in COVID, but like pre-COVID and post-COVID, like you have somewhere to be. Like even if you have to wake up tomorrow morning because you have a workout class, or you go on like your run every morning, whatever, even if you're lying, like mm-hmm. you should not be on a date for more than like 2, maybe 2.5 hours.
Wow. Okay.
And so if within that time you go to a second location, fine.
Okay.
But I think that, you know, you should be like, I had so much like wrapping up the first location. If they're like, would love to like show you this, like, you know, wine bar that like I love. And you could be like, oh, I would love to check it out. Why don't we do that next time? Mm-hmm. You know, like mm-hmm. then you are getting a second date.
True.
And you're not available. Like that's, I feel like the best of both worlds. Whereas like if you're like, oh, I'd love to check out the wine bar, like what else can you show me, like show me everything, you know? No, like you're not that impressed. Like you had a nice time and like now you can go home and think about everything, and they can hit you up for a second date.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of male friends of mine say that a second location to them as men is a sign that that means the girl is probably going to hook up with them.
Mm-hmm.
And being a woman and being in that scenario, it's more like when I've done second location, it was more because I was like, oh, like I'm into this date and mm-hmm. it's fun. And a lot of times you just go on so many bad dates that you're like, oh, I don't want this date to end. Like there's a little bit part of you that was like, no, I am enjoying talking to them. I want to talk to them more. Mm-hmm. So that's when it becomes hard to kind of hold back and maybe like hold more mystery per se.
Mm-hmm. Right. But the way that you have to say, like speak to yourself is like, oh, I like this guy. I don't want this date to end. So I'm going to end it so that it can happen again.
Okay.
Because it's like the same way as like if you're hooking up with someone, you really like them, so you like put all your eggs in their basket and then they break up with you. Like, no, if you are hooking up with someone and you really like them, that is your chance to hook up with other people. So you don't come off like you are all about them. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like the same thing with the date. Like, oh, you're having a really nice time on this date. Great. Can you walk me home? Because I want a second date.
Mm. Interesting. Okay.
I mean, as maddening as it is, men do like to have to fight for something. So in cutting it off, I think that gets their wheels spinning a little bit of like, oh, I thought this was going so great. Like, why doesn't you want to hang out more? And then yeah. they're going to be thinking about you more. So I do think there is something to it. I'm not very good at it, but
it's hard. You really want to check out that wine bar sometimes.
Yeah. I'm really curious to know, now that like you're in a relationship, do you hit a point when you're dating someone that you'd stop following any kind of rules?
I think when you live together, it's really hard to follow rules. Like, you're like, you know, pooping and like doing gross things. And, but I do think that it's important to like maintain your independence in your relationship. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if you're somebody that tends to like get comfortable with your partner, like almost too comfortable, where like you forget you have friends and like you forget you have a job and like, you know, that kind of stuff, like you need to set boundaries for yourself and be like, I, like, if you're that person, like, I'm not that person, but I know friends that are, and you have to be like, okay, I'm going to go out with my girlfriends like once or twice a week, like on these days. Like, you have to make sure that you're like not just like always around sitting there, like, you know, like, mm-hmm. I think it's nice to like, you know, you don't have to do this, but if you want to like dress sexy one night or like dress up for like a date night, like especially in COVID times, like I literally, we call each other like marshmallows because we're always in sweatsuits with like huge, you know, sweatpants and sweatshirts. And like, I think it's nice to like surprise you. Like the other day I was just like sitting on the couch in my like blob of a sweatsuit and my boyfriend came out in a suit, like, and I was like, oh my
that's
god cute.
That's adorable,
so cute. And I feel like, and like I will like, you know, go like buy like a nice lingerie situation, like just like little things. Like I feel like just keeping like just not trying at all to me is like breaking rules, because it's like, you know, but that's less about rules and more about like relationship and like respect and, mm-hmm. and like making sure that you're both happy and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's always about effort.
Yeah.
Not
so
effort.
Whether it's like physical things like dressing up or other little things, it's kind of like you just feel like the effort's gone. Mm-hmm. Like we all, I mean, most people feel like they get a little lazier in relationships or their partner gets a little lazy in relationships. And I think that's when it's kind of like, hey, like, I don't like that we're getting lazy about whatever it is, whether it's dressing nice, whether it's, you know, cleaning the apartment or, you know,
right.
whatever.
Agreed. And I think like if you're dating someone before you live together, which like obviously I've experienced too, I mean, this is my first time living with a partner, but like I would make it a rule not to like have a sleepover every night, like to have nights where like I go home and like do my thing and like, you know, have them miss you. Because like if you're living together before you're living together, then like living together won't be that different or exciting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. True. I'm curious, because for our pod, we always try to find some type of research with relationships and stuff. Has there ever been like a rule that you found in your research that you used to do and thought it was a great rule and then realized, I don't think that's a good rule and people shouldn't do that?
There was one thing that I used to do, but it wasn't like, I didn't read it anywhere and think that it was a good idea. I kind of just like told myself it was cool and it wasn't.
Okay.
I used to like be so like D-gap. Like I used to pretend I didn't give a fuck, like to the new, like to a new extent where it like backfired. Like I remember I was dating this guy and he had this like cool job at like a record label. And I knew that he had a cool job and I knew he was successful. And so I purposely didn't ask about his job. Like, I'm like, I'm gonna like, you know, like be so like cool that like, I don't care about his job. So I'm never gonna ask about it. Like, I'm never gonna bring it up. Mm-hmm. And we ended up like not working out. And then we like ran into each other years later. And I was like, what was the deal with us? Like, why didn't we? And he was like, well, you literally never asked me about what I do. Like, you never like cared. And I was like, what do you mean? I cared so much. Like, that's why I didn't ask you. And yeah, sure. I was like, we obviously like that didn't work in my favor.
I've found that in general, if you're trying to be too cool.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times then you're not speaking up for like any of your needs or wants.
Mm-hmm.
And totally. You're like, no, I'm just laid back, cool girl. Almost like to the extreme trying to follow, you know, the classic book, The Rules, of like letting them make every effort and like, I don't care either way. I'm just happy to be here. But then ultimately I feel like you end up not happy or not showing any personality, really.
Right.
It's most times like people like you have some interest or some opinion or something, you know?
100%. And like, I always think it's so weird when people are like, just like, don't be yourself for the first like 3 months and then like, and then be yourself. It's like, well, they're going to be like, wait, this girl wasn't the person I thought she was. Like, I'm not down anymore.
Yeah, for sure.
That is hilarious. Cause actually when I, first started dating my boyfriend now, one of my like childhood best friends, I've been close to her for like over 20 years. She listened to this podcast and all the rules that we go over. And she was like, Mal, just make sure like you stay like being yourself. Like, he's going to fall in love with you and who you are. And she actually sent me this bracelet that I forget exactly what it says, but like the script on it is essentially like, be yourself. And she was like, can you just like wear this on your dates?
That is so funny.
She's like, just look at your wrist whenever you need a little reminder.
I mean, she's right. And that's why I feel like it's so important to like, when you're going on a date, act like you're meeting up with a friend.
Yeah, exactly. Because I mean, ultimately, the goal is for this person to be like your best friend, right?
Yeah. But like, there are parts of you that like, you will not reveal until like post I love you and like post being. Like, I remember when I like right as I was becoming more serious with my boyfriend, I called one of my best friends and I was like, oh, like, what if I can never be like really weird in front of him? Because like, we weren't there yet.
Yeah.
And she was like, you will be, like, trust me, you'll be fine. And now I'm just like as weird as I can be. And so I like, some things just like take time.
Yeah. We always boil everything down to a friendship. Like, how would you receive this from a friend? How would you treat a friend? And I think that getting to know you process is similar, because like, have you ever had a friend that you were just like entirely like no holds bar, like absolutely yourself from the second you met them, like super weird. And then like everything was totally fine. Like in my experience, like my best friends, like it's something that you build over time and you get like a little bit more yourself revealed every time you hang out. And I don't know why we treat romantic relationships differently.
Yeah, I mean, they shouldn't be. I totally agree with you.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we already talked about shooting a shot. You shared their story with us. So I guess to wrap up, we'd like to ask our guests, what is the best piece of dating advice that you have ever received?
The best piece of dating advice I've received is that if you're confused, meaning like if you're confused about how they feel about you, they're not interested.
There I love go. That.
Yeah, if they're not confused, you'll know, right?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
That's awesome. So yeah, then again, everybody, check out Lindsay's podcast, We Met at Acme, and you can follow Lindsay at Linz Metz. That's LINDZMETZ. And anything else you want to plug? Or
And check out the podcast We Met at Acme, because you will hear Erica and Molly's episode.
Oh yeah, we'll be coming out on her pod soon. So thank you guys for listening. As always, I'm at Sparica with two A's.
And I'm at the Guaca_Molly.
And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.